Hour two of the game on Phil Steele Day. John, Tyler, Mitch all here with you. You're going to hear Phil Steele back-to-back segments here. A lot of college football talk and Jabroni of the Week at the end of the hour at 5:50. The game KMAN, if you have questions or comments, might have a chance to field some phone calls later on in the hour. You missed the news that we opened up the show talking about today. 5-year extension for Mike Gundy, who's now going to make $4.2 million this year as the head coach of the Oklahoma State Cowboys. All right, Phil Steele, we had a chance to talk with him earlier today. There was so much information, we broke it up into two parts here. Part one, essentially K-State and the Big 12. Part two, next segment, starting at around 5:25, the national college football outlook from Phil Steele for the year. His magazine is not on newsstands yet. Exactly 2 weeks from today, it'll be on newsstands. You can order it on his website, and you can get the digital version right now as well. But it's no secret now, basically a college football Bible. If you're a college football fan, it is one of the highlights, certainly of the summer, getting that magazine and getting a chance to read it. And really one of the highlights of the sports year for me on the show is getting a chance to talk some college football with Phil Steele at a time when we are incredibly starved for college football information.
You know, a lot of the times that I'm reading like the Big 12 blog or other experts or something like that, other preseason magazines, I kind of already formed the opinion that I have on each individual team, and I'll read those, and normally they won't do much to change what I think. I'll be convinced, I'm kind of stubborn, that I already know everything there is to know about those teams. Phil Steele is the exception to that rule. When he says something, he has stats to back it up, he's got figures to back it up, and he really can change your mind as far as what you think about certain things.
Very formulaic, as I said yesterday, in the way that he goes about doing things. And this is not just blowing smoke. I think most people realize this by now. This is not like some lame radio promo we're giving. I'm doing this out of the goodness of my heart because I believe it. It's a great resource and a great tool if you are a college football fan. But without further ado, here is Phil Steele, a guy who had just wrapped up getting the magazine off to print before Bob Stoops went and retired and changed everything. Usually he is better with some of the late movement there in college football because he waits longer to go to print than most of the college football preview magazines. So I can imagine for Phil Steele that that had to be almost somewhat frustrating that Bob Stoops made that move so close to when his magazine was set to come out.
Yeah. You know, normally it would if it was something that would affect my judgment, but in this case, it really didn't. I like the fact that Bob Stoops was there the entire spring. I like the fact that Lincoln Riley's the offense coordinator, Mike Stoops the defense coordinator, like the talent on hand. And, you know, Gil Brandt called me, I believe it was 3 years ago, prior to Oklahoma hiring Lincoln Riley, and said, this is one of the really upcoming coaches out there, Lincoln Riley. Keep your eye on him. I remember the conversation where, you know, Bob Stoops picks up the phone, it's Gil Brandt talking to him about Lincoln Riley, and he's interviewing Lincoln Riley for the OC position. I think he's done a great job. So I think Bob Stoops is not leaving at a tough time. They got him through the spring, and I think they'll be well prepared for the season. I did pick Oklahoma to win the Big 12 this year, and even without Bob Stoops, I'm still picking them to win the Big 12. So it wasn't a major catastrophe.
Well, it seems like to most people, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State would be the two favorites in the league, if not just Oklahoma solely, but I mean, the feeling here in Manhattan is that K-State has a very good chance to compete for a Big 12 championship. How likely, in your eyes, is that to play out?
You know, I'm definitely bullish on that. In fact, I think K-State's being rated lower than they should be coming into the season. Now, they've got some factors going against them. You keep in mind that last year, despite the fact they were 6-3 in the Big 12, they're actually outgained by 56 yards per game. Of course, they were plus 13 in turnovers, where I've got that turnovers equal turnaround in the magazine every year, which shows that those teams generally have a weaker record. But here's a couple factors I really like about K-State. This is a veteran team. You know, they had 135 starts last year by underclassmen. Now, that's unusual for Bill Snyder. Usually brings in a lot of JUCOs. So this is one of their more veteran teams. In fact, with the amount of returning starters they have back, they have 14 returning starters. The last time they had this many returning starters was 2012, and that year, they went 11-2. So here's a team that's got their usual JUCO infusion. They've got all those underclassmen back from last year. They have my number 40 rated quarterbacks. Receivers are rated high. The offensive line, I rate number 30. Defensive line, number 19. In fact, 6 of the 8 units are ranked in my top units, including my number one special teams in the country. And then you factor in the schedule. They do have to play Oklahoma State and Texas on the road, but the other two road games, very winnable. Kansas and Texas Tech. Bill Snyder knows how to pull upsets on the road, so if they bag one of those other two on the road, they get Oklahoma at home, they get West Virginia at home, I list Kansas State as a clear-cut contender in the Big 12, and I've seen some of the other publications that are out now. I think K-State's being underrated.
Phil, something that stood out to me when I first, you know, as soon as you announced that the magazine was available electronically, immediately I went ahead and jumped on that. And something that stood out to me, looking at the unit rankings across the Big 12, it's actually a little bit reversed from what I would have figured, with K-State's offense in the Big 12 being rated a little bit lower and the defense very, very good. Is that just a result of how good you think all of the offenses are going to be in the Big 12 this year?
Yeah, and you just look at the fire, and that's pretty much status quo for the Big 12, isn't it? But you look at some of the teams, you look at TCU, they've got Kenny Hill back, they've got that high-flying offense. Last year, the receivers dropped a lot of passes. They are loaded at receiver this year. I think they're going to be high-flying. You look at Oklahoma State, Mason Rudolph, James Washington, Justice Hill. That's a nice triplet combination there. Baker Mayfield back for Oklahoma. Say no more there. And then you've got Shane Buechel back, Chris Warner running back, and they've got some dangerous receivers at Texas. I think Baylor's going to be better than expected. So I just think the Big 12, even a team like Kansas, you go down to Kansas, you know, this is an offense with Beatty that's now in his second year, and he actually has my number 33 wide receiver unit in the country, and he's got a quarterback in Peyton Bender who lit it up in junior college. So I think it's going to be your typical Big 12 season where the offenses do quite well, and my magazine usually slants a little more to the defense, and I think that's why I have K-State rated higher than everyone else, because I do like their defense.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, Phil, and we're talking with Phil Steele here on the game. Defensively, I think the worry for me is that K-State is losing, you know, borderline elite guy at each level of the defense. Jordan Willis on the defensive line, Elijah Lee at linebacker, Dante Barnett at safety. What is it that really gives you the confidence K-State's defense will be able to pick things back up this year?
Well, I like teams that can get the pressure up front. And, yes, losing Jordan Willis is huge. But I like Will Geary at defensive tackle, Reggie Walker at defensive end. You know, they got Dyshon back as well. So I think it's a veteran defensive front. They add in their usual mix of JUCOs. So you look at the linebackers. Probably my biggest question mark on the defensive side is the linebacking core, because there's no returning starters there. But I like the talent they've got. And then you take a cornerback like DJ Reed. I think he'll break through. Elijah Walker comes in from junior college. He's my number four rated JUCO coming out. So I think there's plenty of talent on the defensive side of the ball. And there's some guy on the sidelines, Bill Snyder, I think. Been around a few years. And every year this guy's defense produces at a higher level. It's better than if you added up all the individual players, their K-State defense produces better than that. And so I'm banking on that as well.
Phil, I think there's a pretty great deal of confidence that the Big 12 will have at least three or four very solid teams this year. But what is the upper end ceiling for them as far as the college football playoff? I think that Oklahoma gets talked about there a lot. Any chance that that we could see two or three teams in the top 10 by the end of the year?
Yeah, definitely a possibility there. I think I'm going to put Oklahoma and Oklahoma State right at the top. I think when you look at the talent they have and when you look at the schedules they have, as an example, Oklahoma State's road games in the Big 12 this year are Iowa State, West Virginia, Texas Tech, and Texas, all fall on the winnable category. I think you'll see Oklahoma State up there. But then I put the next group, and that is TCU, Kansas State, and Texas. And I think all three of those teams, one of them could break through. Texas, I thought, would break through last year. They greatly disappointed me. But Tom Herman is just a magician as the head coach as well. Not quite up to Bill Snyder standards, but I tell you what, this guy is 6-0 against ranked teams at the University of Houston, and that's quite a statement. And then TCU with Gary Patterson. You know, once again, I talk about defenses. Gary Patterson's defense is usually very good. Last year, they didn't seem so good, did they? But they only gave up 28 points per game, which isn't too bad for Big 12 play, and he's got a veteran defense coming back. So I think one of those three teams, whether it's a TCU, a Kansas State, or a Texas, breaks through, and yeah, I could see two or three teams in the top 10 at the end of the year.
Talking with Phil Steele here on the game, previewing the Big 12 and the national college football season. I know the common theme here is, all right, Oklahoma is going to be up there at the top. Are we glossing too much over the fact that they're losing D.D. Westbrook, Samaje Perine, and Joe Mixon?
Yeah, that's probably my biggest question mark when I was doing Oklahoma this year, because you look at them defensively. They started out last year extremely poor on the defensive side of the ball, got better as the season went on. They do return Jordan Thomas and Stephen Parker in the secondary. They've got Arcaranco at the outside linebacker spot, so I think their defense is going to be much improved. But I'm concerned who is going to step up at running back, because I don't see a Mixon or a Perine there. Is it going to be a Rodney Anderson, Abdul Adams, or Sutton? That was quite a combo. I think both Mixon and Perine were NFL-caliber running backs, and I need to see someone emerge at that spot. Now, with Westbrook, remember his first year coming off JUCO, and then he got off to a slow start last year. He wasn't really D.D. Westbrook, but then turned into it. They've got some players that could, and maybe a Marquise Brown steps in and takes control like that, like Westbrook did last year. When you've got Baker Mayfield distributing the ball, I think a receiver will emerge. I'm more concerned about the two running backs they lost, and that's probably my biggest question mark on Oklahoma this year.
Phil, you mentioned that that Texas greatly disappointed you last year, and that does seem like something that has happened with you before, going back, you know, the last 5 to 7 years, as it has with so many people expecting that they're finally going to break through. Is this the year, this time around, that we finally see Texas back in national relevance?
Well, you think it could be. Now, keep in mind, generally a first-year head coach comes in, and he's got to learn the player's strengths and weaknesses. Players have to learn new schemes. But I like what I saw during the spring. I haven't got a chance to talk to Coach Herman yet for Texas. Usually do that over the summertime. When did that every year when he was at Houston. But I like the talent they have. Like I mentioned, the receiving core, a lot of experience, a lot of depth. They've got size. They've got speed. Same thing with the secondary. Size, speed, sort of underachieved last year. Malik Jefferson, a linebacker, one of the better linebackers in the country. You look at these guys up front. They look good getting off the bus, that defensive line. So this is a team that's got a lot of talent. And Tom Herman's the guy that always gets the most out of the talent on hand. So I think it's a pretty good combination. My hesitance to putting Texas up there this year, one, they disappointed me last year, and two, it is a first-year head coach. And generally there's a little bit of a learning curve during the first year. But talent-wise, I think they've got the players that can compete with anybody in the Big 12.
Talking some Big 12 football here with Phil Steele. The rest of the conference, West Virginia, Baylor, Texas Tech, Iowa State, Kansas. Out of that group that's at the bottom of your projections in the Big 12, who do you think stands the best chance to really jump up and surprise somebody?
You know, and if you would have asked me that question last September when all the stuff was going on at Baylor and they had the interim head coach and players exiting the program, I would not have put Baylor up there. I would have thought, well, they're in for a long, dismal bunch of years coming up because of basically we're losing the recruiting class and all the players they lost. But Matt Rhule's the guy that steps in, and he's got confidence in this year's team. Now, it's going to be a little different. They're going to run the football more. They're going to bring the tight end into the offense, and that may even give them an advantage this year. Defensively, I like players they've got, like K.J. Smith and Taylor Young in the defensive front seven. In fact, they have my number 27-rated D-line, number 33 defensive backs. 7 of their 8 units rank in the front of the magazine, including the special teams. So they're a team that's got some talent. They're not going to be as explosive, but they're going to be better defensively. And the schedule sets up where they could have a pretty good year. I don't think they're ready to contend with the K-States, Texas, and TCU's up front. But of the teams that I have in the bottom half of the Big 12, I think Baylor's your best bet.
All right, there's part one with Phil Steele. We will hit a break, come back, give you part two, where we take more of a view of the national scope of college football with the best in the business, Phil Steele. And speaking of that, his Heisman favorite, not the guy that won it last year. You're listening to The Game.